You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago on a beautiful Friday morning, February 3rd. So in the studio this morning, we have a special guest, Michael Sullivan. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Father. How are you?
Good, good. So Michael has an interesting background and story, and we're going to talk a little bit about Michael's work with some young adults in the Archdiocese of Chicago with the program that he is involved in called Spirit and Truth. Michael, can you talk a little bit about what Spirit and Truth is?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Spirit and Truth, we've been doing this for now since 2008, when at the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, when we unveiled the iconic monstrance, that extraordinary Marian monstrance that's there.
And this is at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish?
Right, exactly, right on the expressway, right off the Division Street exit on the Kennedy Expressway.
So that big church that you make the curve around and the Kennedy.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so when that was unveiled, Spirit and Truth was really the first ministry that sort of kind of grew out of there, and really directing, kind of taking a page from the book of John Paul II and his love for young adults and how much he really focused on them. And so what we did is we created, we launched a Spirit and Truth chapter. And Spirit and Truth is something which grew up out of Atlanta, Georgia, out of their, I think, one of the universities, one of their Newman Centers there. And essentially what Spirit and Truth is, it's an opportunity for Catholic young adults to come together where the Eucharist is at the center of their meeting. And so there's lots of different opportunities for young adults in a Catholic context in the city, in which, you know, there's social opportunities, there's service opportunities, there's lots of opportunities for young adults. But really kind of making the Blessed Sacrament at the center of the reason why we're getting together is what
Sure.
Spirit and Truth is all about. And so we get together at around 6 o'clock and we have a little bit of food.
And you do this once a week? Or
we do this every week, every Thursday night, starting at 6 o'clock, when people start coming to get a little bit of pizza. So we get a little bit of food, and then we get a formation talk starting at 7, where we'll talk, like, for example, last night we had someone talk about doing an apologetics. We've been doing an apologetics series talking about Sola Scriptura. And so, and then after an hour of formation talk, then we go into Eucharistic adoration, and we do silent adoration, and then towards the end, we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and we chant that, and then we end with singing Salve Regina. And then we go back into our meeting room, we kind of clean up and make announcements, and then we go to a local place called the Blue Star Wine Bar for some fellowship, and sometimes that can go on until midnight because the conversations become so rich.
Now, Spirit and Truth, you said this was one of the first ministries started at this Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. How long has it been going on?
It's been going on since 2008, so a little more than 4 years, and really every week, with the exception of, you know, when there's Thanksgiving or Christmas or bad weather, which can be kind of
sure.
frequent in Chicago. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it is the only weekly young adult option for Catholics in the city of Chicago. I could be mistaken by that, but we really get people from all over Chicagoland, even Indiana. We have people that drive over an hour to come every week, just because it's so transformative.
And your own background, Michael. Maybe we could talk a little bit about your own background. What do you do in life right now, and how did you get involved in this ministry of Spirit and Truth?
That's a great question, but I'll try to give you the short answer.
Sure.
because we could be here for a long time. As an Irishman, I always say that it's an act of mercy to stop talking. So, but I'll give you the shorthand version. I lived in Ireland for about 10 years. I did my undergraduate there, and really kind of had a, I grew up in Chicago. I went to St. Ignatius, and Had a kind of conversion back to the faith in Ireland. And so when I came back here in 2000, I really looked for opportunities. And I got involved with Charis Ministries and was on their apostolic board there for a number of years.
It's one of the Jesuit ministries, Charis?
Yeah, absolutely, right. I went to Ave Maria School of Law. I left working with Charis Ministries and got a really tremendous formation there. And I learned there really for the first time about the process of vocational discernment, and particularly discerning your state in life. I had met all of these other young adult Catholics in my classes at Ave Maria School of Law where they were talking about this thing about doing a state in life, you know, discernment, where they would take a year or 2 years. And I really felt the call in my own heart to do that. And so I took 2 years of that time when I was in law school, and I didn't date anyone. And I just spent time going on retreats when I had the opportunity, spend time before the Blessed Sacrament in prayer, and just going deeper. And what I discovered in that process is that no matter, you know, that vocational, the search for your vocation is what we're all supposed to do.
Sure.
Not just, you know, like the Holy Joes or, you know, whatever and say, oh, well, you know, I might have a calling to the priesthood. Everyone has a calling. And the whole process of your young adult years is to discern, how do I hear God's voice speaking to me? How do I hear the loving voice of the Father speaking to my heart? Because he has a tremendous assignment for me in his kingdom, a tremendous assignment for the transformation of our world. And so in that early years of your adulthood is really about kind of focusing in on that and finding what that is. And so I really kind of make the analogy of like a plant or a flower that's turning towards the sun. As it turns towards the sun, it begins to develop and it begins to unfold. And so whatever God has for you, whether he's calling you to, you know, to the priesthood or to religious life or to married life, excuse me, whatever that is, it's going to be what most fulfills me. Because that's what he's made me for. And so that was such a revelation for me. And I ended up taking 2 years to discern religious life and spent time on various, you know, looking at different communities. Sure. And then the Lord introduced me to my vocation, and her name is Kelly.
So that's your wife, Kelly.
That's my wife, Kelly.
And so that was during these 2 years that you really felt that you were actually being called to marriage, and you met Kelly, your wife, there?
It was interesting because the Lord was kind of saying to me, you know, that I was called to, it was almost like he was telling me I was called to religious life, and then it was like, and married life, religious life, and so it was almost like he was calling me to kind of fuse the two in a way. What I realized is that he was calling me to live the married vocation as a religious vocation in a sense, obviously not under solemn vows and in a canonical sense, but in a interior sense. And so, my wife and I have tried to live our married life together in a sense as a ministry and being involved in the church and, you know, like for instance, in our apartment building where we live, we really try to recruit other young Catholic families to live there, and we try to build a community life, a common prayer life, and those kinds of things. And after law school, I was in our family business for a number of years, and then we sold the business. And during that time, when I was working in the family business, I got involved with the project at the Sanctuary of Divine Mercy.
So, a couple questions: how long have you been married now?
I've been married. Oh gosh, I think
I hope Kelly's not listening.
6 years. I think we're in our seventh year. Actually,
we can't strike that one.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We were married in 2005 on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the year of the Eucharist.
So. Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
So you've been married. You were married in 2005, and you're currently working as a lawyer now.
I am an attorney and a little bit of an entrepreneur, and so I do a little bit of this ministry stuff on the side, and I'm the founder of the Divine Mercy Project, which is something which is a year old now, which is also about the new evangelization.
Do you have a website for that?
We do. It's thedivinemercyproject.com.
Thedivinemercyproject.com.
Thedivinemercyproject.com. And essentially, that's kind of, it's connected to the whole idea of Eucharistic adoration and evangelization. We were talking, I think, the other day about this conference that went on in Rome called Adoratio 2011.
Sure, yeah, we had spoken off before this program about this,
yeah,
this conference.
And the premise of this conference was that the new evangelization, that the precondition for the new evangelization is Eucharistic adoration. And we really found that to be the case, because as these young adults would get together and we would spend that hour before the Blessed Sacrament, as we would have fellowship, all kinds of other things began to come out of that. The 40 Days for Life, a campaign on LaSalle and Division, is really run by a group of people that came out that are frequent people at or weekly people at Spirit and Truth.
We're going to, Michael, I'm going to stop you right here because this is a great story. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago invites you to join us for an evening of live entertainment, fine food, fabulous cars, and fantastic friends at First Look for Charity. This exclusive black tie preview to the Chicago Auto Show will take place at McCormick Place on Thursday, February 9th from 5:30 to 10:30 p.m. Proceeds go to benefit our Neighbors in Need Fund, supporting emergency services, and maternity and adoption programs. Register today by calling 312-948-6797 or visiting catholiccharities.net/firstlook.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Forgot my own name right there. And we're in the studio this morning with Michael Sullivan, an attorney, a husband of 7 years or so now, mm-hmm. as you mentioned.
And 3 children. I thought you were going to say
seven children.
No. I'd say we're working on it, but we're not quite there yet.
3 children, 7 years marriage, and or 6.5 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Do the math there. So Michael was speaking before the break about his own vocational discernment, that he really took time, you took time, Michael, during your time, I think, at Ave Maria Law School to discern what God was calling you to in life. And you made an interesting comment that we're all called to discern what God is asking of us in life, not just certain people, but we're all called to that. Can you say more about that, the importance of all of us spending some time and asking the Lord what we're called to do?
Absolutely. I mean, because you know your vocation exists to sanctify me, but my vocation exists to sanctify the world.
This is a great distinction that really came out of the Second Vatican Council, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
For the lay vocation for men and women, the lay men and women, they are to be the leaven, so to speak, in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, we're called to transform the world. And so I can't do that. I mean, I can't do that alone. But I'll tell you, I mean, spending time before the Lord and, you know, anything that he does, you know, that I do with him and that he does with me and through me, I mean, you know, the ceiling gets blown off the
it's magnified.
Absolutely. And
right.
So everyone is called to discern their vocation. And what I say to these young adults, because I just felt like I had, that the Lord had really shown me something in this journey, and that I had something to give to these young adults. And particularly as a married man, you know, when you, so sometimes young adult Catholic stuff can be a bit of a meat market and that kind of thing. And it has a kind of a, you know, it's not the best. You know,
there's a social quality, but
yeah,
right.
I mean, that's to put good terms on it.
Sure.
But one of the wonderful things about Spirit and Truth is that people are there because the Eucharist is at the heart of it. And I've had people tell me this, that because I'm a married man and I'm not involved in the mix of all of that stuff, I'm like
You're a father
figure.
I'm
a father figure. I'm a mentor. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of them come to me with their relationship issues and other kinds of things, discernment, mm-hmm. prayer issues, et cetera. And I'm able to give some light into that.
Now, but, one of the things, if I could just, because we're on something that we spoke off the air a couple weeks ago about this, about adoration and spirit and truth. You said something that has stayed with me for these last few weeks. You said it is so important that we need to build culture around adoration or build culture around the Eucharist. Can you explain what you meant by that? Because I think spirit and truth is tapping into that idea you have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and this is the thing is that you know, Paul, I think it was Pope Paul VI, said that the great drama of our time is the separation, the divorce between faith and culture. And so the culture has gotten away from us. And so yet, what is at the source or the heart of culture? I mean, if you look at it from an etymological perspective, you have cult in the word culture. And in America, we tend to think of cult in a negative sense, but really what it is, it's a religious core that's at the center of culture. And so as Catholics, the fountain of our culture is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And the intensification of that encounter is in Eucharistic adoration. And so what we do at Spirit and Truth is we come together, we break bread, we talk and learn about the faith. So we're feeding the intellect, okay? We're feeding the stomach first.
Sure, of course.
The mind's not going to be focused on God if it's thinking about its stomach. So first we take care of this, just the physical aspect of ourselves. You know, we get a little bit of food in. And then we look at the intellectual aspect and the formation of the mind and to bring that light of truth in. Then we go before the Blessed Sacrament and we encounter Jesus in his spiritual reality, his incarnated spiritual reality, which transforms us. And then we pray. Pray together in chanting in the Liturgy of the Hours, the prayer of the Church, which is so powerful. The grace which is just pours out upon us when we pray that beautiful prayer before our Lord is incredible. And then we go and we have some socializing. So we take care of that aspect of ourselves, which is intensely relational. But the relational context is within the context of the Blessed Sacrament.
So it begins with the relationship with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, but then it spills over to the relationships then everyone has with each other because of that initial contact with the Lord.
Exactly. It's almost as if, like, Spirit and Truth is almost like we're ascending a mountain, and at the peak of the mountain is Eucharistic adoration, and then we come back down, and we what comes out of that is all kinds of initiatives. So, for example, I think that of last year, the gay liberation movement was protesting on the steps of Holy Name Cathedral, and there was a group from Spirit and Truth that really felt like we needed to make a response to this, a response which is rooted in our faith. And so we went before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We prayed, well, what Lord, do you want us to do about this? And after that period of silent prayer together, we came together and we talked out, well, what is it that we felt that the Lord was saying? And so what we did is we felt that what he was asking us to do was to love them. You know,
sure.
And so we did that in a way by getting some blue T-shirts that say "Love is the Answer" and calling ourselves Go First Ministries from the for that passage in Scripture where it says, "If you know that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go first and make and reconcile with your brother." And so when the protesters came, we kind of came out of Holy Name Cathedral and said, "Hi, how you doing? My name is Michael, or my name is Jan, or whatever," and just really engaging in genuine friendship. And there was real. There was real fruit there. There was real connections and conversations that happened there. Now the leadership of them, I mean, they didn't want to talk to us at all. But we were making an impact, and we were making an impact of love, and saying, you know, we're not what the media and what people say that we are. This
sure.
great oppressive or garbage that they project us as. We are the heart of a loving Father, and we are His children, and so are you. And so that all of that is about culture. It's about what we do and how we imagine who we are and the choices that we make. And it's all around the Blessed Sacrament. And I really feel that that's a real key to the new evangelization, because where does the strength come to go when you've got all these protesters with et cetera? And
comes from the Lord.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do that without that time that we spend before mm-hmm. our Lord.
And so, that's the authentic witness, is the witness of Christ's own love for his people, for
exactly.
all people.
Exactly.
One of the things that, speaking about culture, and that's a very, I'd say, that's a powerful example you share with us. And in a lighter note, you shared a story about a group. I don't know if it was in this city or maybe in another state. After they would have this tailgating, so to speak, after they would have adoration. Can you share that story again?
We
talked about this several weeks ago.
Oh, this is awesome. I really think that there's a move of God about Eucharistic adoration and culture. And there's a young woman who used to be involved in Spirit and Truth, and she really felt called to become a focus missionary, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students as a missionary. And so she came back and she was telling us about her year as in the mission field, so to speak. And she told us about something that had sort of spontaneously come about called Eucharistic tailgating. And
if we could make this a cliffhanger right here, because I'm getting assigned to take a quick break.
We'll come right back.
Eucharistic
this is an
tailgating.
Awesome story.
So stay with us.
How can we attract and keep young people in the church?
What can we do to re-energize some of our ministries?
What does it mean to be a team-friendly parish?
How can we all work together effectively?
These questions and many others will be answered at this year's Parish Leadership Day on Saturday, February 18th at Loyola Academy in Wilmette. As we celebrate the Year of Teens and Young Adults, we encourage parish leaders to bring their active young Catholics to this exciting day-long event. There will be workshops in English, Spanish, and Polish, and many of these sessions are geared to our young Catholic leaders. As always, there will be a luncheon dialogue with Cardinal Francis George, and His Eminence will celebrate our closing Mass. For more information and to register, go to www.artchicago.org or call the Office for Councils at 312-534-8364. That's www.artchicago.org or call 312-534-8364. We hope to see you Saturday, February 18th for the best ever Parish Leadership Day.
When a neighbor's cupboards are bare, we help. When our cupboards are bare, we need your help. The past few months have been the most difficult for families that come to Catholic Charities for food. Demand is up and donations are down. Help us restock our shelves so we can feed those in need this winter. Visit catholiccharities.net/food or call 312-655-7525 to find out how you can help.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. In the studio this morning, we have Michael Sullivan. Again, Michael is talking about a young adult ministry called Spirit and Truth that occurs every Thursday night at St. Stanislaus Koska Parish, right off the Kennedy, that big church that you see if you're driving on the Kennedy. It's right around that big curve. Right before the break, we had a cliffhanger. Michael was going to share with us a beautiful story about something called Eucharistic tailgating. Michael.
Yeah. So again, this was a Focus missionary that my wife and I support.
And Focus is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students.
That's right. And so she came back into kind of giving us stories from the field. And she said that there was...
she was on a college campus?
On a college campus, mm-hmm. And there was a local parish that had perpetual adoration. And a friend of hers, they said, hey, you know, let's go and do adoration together, you know, kind of taking a friend, you know, and going. And so they went together, they did an hour of adoration together. And then afterwards they kind of got, you know, to talking in the parking lot because, you know, obviously you're not talking and chatting and having socializing before the Blessed Sacrament. You want to kind of focus in on the Lord during that time. And so, but in the parking lot right outside, they started socializing. It just kind of like went on and they had a bag of chips or whatever. And they started, kind of said, hey, this is kind of like Eucharistic tailgating.
So after adoration, they stay around in the parking lot.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this thing became like a phenomena. okay, where on this campus that more and more people started to be invited to this time of adoration on a weekly basis where they would get together and people would go in and then they would come out and they would just start to grow, and it began to grow and grow. And so people would bring a football and they were throwing footballs into the parking lot. And, you know, sometimes people would come out and then they would, you know, kind of be talking. Maybe some issue was on their life and they said, you know what, I need to go back in. I need to go spend more time with the Lord and just kind of learning about, you know, how the Lord is prompting us, how the Holy Spirit is prompting us on our hearts and how we have to respond to it. So anyway, so then the police kind of came by.
Because they're suspicious, right?
Yeah, because there's all these young adults, you know, hanging out in the church parking lot. They're probably drinking, you know, they're probably looking for a place where they can, you know, and little did they know that they were drinking. They were getting soberly intoxicated on the Holy Spirit.
On the Holy Spirit, right.
And so the police came along and they told them what they were doing is they were, you know, spending time praying before the Lord. And so the police were just blown away and they said, hey, can we come and can we join you?
That's great.
And so this is the kind of thing of like how the culture, how the Lord just wants, he wants us to have so much joy and love and peace and fun with him and with his presence, because what he's calling us to is a great adventure. And where do we really discern what that adventure is? It's in that quiet and still place, and most intensely before him in his radiating presence.
Now, this is something interesting because Pope Benedict just recently said, was talking about the necessity of silence. He was talking, I think, about communicators in Communication Day, or there was a talk he gave a couple weeks ago. He's talking about the necessity of silence in there to hear the Lord speaking to us. But I think you also touched on something very beautiful, is that the Lord wants us to be joyful, but to receive his joy, the joy that he wants to pour out within us. Hmm. And I could be wrong, but I think our culture is thirsty for that. Many people have yet to taste that the joy, you know, that God the Father wants to give them on a daily basis.
Oh, absolutely. And people are starving for it, absolutely starving for it. You know, sometimes when you go into these, you know, bars you know, places to eat, even there are television sets all
over
around
the place, right?
And you can't get away from them. And, you know, it's so distracting. If you're, you know, my wife and I, the few times when we are able to go out for a date.
To break away from the three kids there.
Exactly, because we've got a one-year-old, a three-year-old, and a
It's probably a lot of noise at home too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. We don't have a TV, thanks be to God. But we go out to a place, and there's TVs all over the place. And we're kind of like, this is like... you know, a violence to our intimacy, because we want to come together. You know, we want to have a meal where we're really engaging and focusing
talking
in on
with each
talking
other,
one
right.
another. And this is a tremendous distraction. And we realize that it's like the culture is toxic, you know, and it's all around us. And so these young adults, as they want to be in places where they can have real good conversations, deep conversations, where noise isn't blaring at you and where you have to scream into the other person's ear. And so the more that we're able to raise up a culture like that, the more that we'll be able to see shifts in, you know, our eating establishments and other kinds of places, as we become that leaven and we begin to speak and say, you know what, we'd really like you to turn off that TV.
There was a book written, maybe 10 years ago. I think the title was called Driven to Distraction. And I don't remember exactly what the book was about, but the title was so telling that we are driven to distraction with all that noise around us, but we lose something, the beautiful art of conversation one-on-one, listening to each other and speaking with each other. But it seems like that is spilling over from this, you know, experience of adoration that these young adults are having, and it's genuine. It's coming out of that experience out into the parking lots or out into you know, as the Blue Star Wine Bar, as you said, they mm-hmm. you go for a fellowship after those Thursday night sessions.
There's a lot of you know, of grace that gets you know, poured out. In addition to a beer or two you know, at the Blue Star Wine Bar.
Sure.
Because we're just down the street from Eucharistic Adoration, and there's so much grace and connections about what I call sort of kingdom connections, as someone opens up their heart and they says, you know, I'm having this kind of issue with this person or that person or this situation in my life, and grace and light comes into that, because
and that's where Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in His name. I mean, He's there present. He wants those conversations to happen. Without divulging any secrets here, so you've been doing this 4 years. Have you seen some deeper connections come out of this? Have men and women met, you know, and become married out of this? Has anyone discerned a religious vocation out of this?
Oh, absolutely.
Out of spirit and truth here.
We've had, I think last year we sent a young man to the Marians in Stockbridge to start in their seminary program. We've also had, the three or four people that are now part of Father Bob Lombardo's the Franciscans of the Eucharist, the new congregation that's part of the
Mission. At Our Lady of the Angels, Mission of Our Lady of the Angels.
Right, the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels. They were regular Spirit and Truth people. Eric, I think, was involved in Spirit and Truth out in Lisle. Because there are other places. There's I think in Joliet in Lisle,
has a few
in Rockford. Where we are, we're the only one in Chicago so thus far. We'd certainly like to see others.
And do you have a website?
We have a blog spot. We had a donor give us some money to make a website, so that's coming. But the blog spot is Sanctuary Spirit and Truth.
So one all spelled together, Sanctuary Spirit and Truth?
Yes, sanctuaryspiritandtruth.blogspot.com.
sanctuaryspiritandtruth.blogspot.com.
That's right. And anyone who goes there, they can sign up for our weekly email. We also have, they could also then get onto our Facebook page too. And if anybody who's maybe listening who doesn't, you know, want to go, they can get, I'll give you my telephone number and you can give me a call and I can get you on the email list. It's 773-255-8397. That's 773-255-8397. And you can give me a call and I'll get you on the email list and we'll get you plugged in.
Great. And that's Michael Sullivan at that telephone number. We'll be right back on the Catholic Community of Faith.
If someone close to us begins to talk about their childhood sexual abuse, many of us don't know how to respond. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Office of Assistance Ministry is offering a one-day workshop for family and friends of victim survivors of childhood sexual abuse. A licensed clinical social worker will lead the program that will be offered on Saturday, February 4th. For more information, call Kathleen Legdis at 312-534-5268. That's Kathleen Legdis at 312-534-5268.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives.
Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And sitting in the studio with me this morning is Michael Sullivan. Michael, you are the, would you call yourself the moderator, of Spirit and Truth, or how would you de facto kind of...
I just show up
every week. You're
facilitator,
the guy that's there every week.
You know what, I got to make sure that the pizza gets ordered and there are speakers there and...
So you line everything up, the facilitator.
Yeah.
So we've been speaking this last half hour about Spirit and Truth, more or less, which is a young adult ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago, every Thursday night starting at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
at St. Stanislaus Kostka at the Sanctuary of Divine Mercy. A group of young adults come together for adoration, some type of spiritual talk, and then some fellowship,
mm-hmm.
Part of that. And before the break, we were talking about all the fruit that's come out of that, many great conversations. And I was just wondering, have vocations come out of that, whether to religious life or marriage, as people are engaged with this deeper prayer life with the Lord? Have you seen in these 4 years that you've been involved with Spirit and Truth?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really interesting because I was mentioning just in the last segment about the religious vocations that have come out for priesthood and religious life. But what we are also in a season is marriages, holy marriages.
So you see marriages from these young adults.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's interesting because when I first got involved in young adult ministry, there was this real kind of culture among young adults where the marriages weren't happening, if you like. I mean, there was almost like everything was sort of on pause. And my ear would sort of be, talked off by these young ladies who, were sort of complaining about the situation and how they were feeling like the men were sort of kind of stepping up to the plate, et cetera. And there's various reasons in our culture that our culture really wants men to remain as adolescents and not to really be purposeful about what the Lord is calling you to do.
Putting off commitment,
mm-hmm. exactly. And also, there's a lot of woundedness in our culture.
Sure.
So that, and this is what I would say to the young ladies is, pray for these guys because oftentimes, I know what it's like. My parents were divorced. I mean, approaching marriage was kind of a really scary thing. And if it wasn't for my faith, I maybe would have been spooked away from the whole thing just because it's like, oh my gosh, this is kind of evokes a lot of stuff, So I would say to pray to them. Well, in this last 2 years, it's like something is broken and that there's this sort of, we're in this season of holy marriages, holy courtships, chaste courtships, beautiful Catholic weddings and marriages. It's just awesome. I mean, it's just just this past week, we had two regulars at Spirit and Truth. He proposed to her, and he was telling me the story last night.
Thursday night was last night, so you met last night.
That's
yeah.
right, yeah. And he was telling me the story of it.
Sure.
So it was just beautiful. And they... I won't say their names.
Yeah, we want to give them their space.
But just to give you an idea, sure. this is how he proposed to her. They would pray night prayer together every night as they were. This was their dating habit. Okay, not hey, come on, let's go to the disco or something like that.
Right.
But their habit was to pray night prayer together, an evening prayer, and so they got together at.
That's from the Liturgy of the Hours.
From the Liturgy of the Hours, yeah.
Right.
And so what they did is they got together. At a church, and maybe they were going out to dinner or something, and they decided they would stop into the church at St. Mary the Angels to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and he placed the ring in his breviary, and when they knelt and they were kneeling before the Lord, and so he kind of opened it up so that they could share in reading it, and she saw the ring,
Yeah.
So I mean, that's the kind of romance that's interwoven with the faith is so powerful. To create a foundation for your marriage on something that's so powerful and so holy, and they are going to be getting married on the Feast of the Rosary, October 13th.
Wonderful, you said something when we were off the air some advice that you've given to some young adults, and maybe you took it yourself, I think, when you were discerning your own vocation in life, or discerning, or just listening for that call from the Lord, that you sometimes advise young adults to hold off on dating.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And maybe you could talk a little bit about that and the fruitfulness of that.
Yeah, and in a sense, what I would say, as I say, that really discern what your calling is. And eliminate, and first seek to ask the Lord. Be generous with the Lord and ask Him, Lord, if you want me to be a priest, if you want me to be a religious, you know, I will do that.
There's
you know?
A lot of and, fear in even asking that question,
yeah.
I think. That's a risk.
And this is the thing, is that the life of the Spirit, the life in the Spirit and the soul, grows by taking risks, okay? And I don't mean risks of faith.
I think St. Paul said that. We never shrink back. I mean, it is one of risk. We move forward.
You know, I kind of think of the metaphor, the image of a seed that's under the ground, and you have all this dead matter that's pressing down on it. You know, it has to push up out of that, you know? It has, in order for it to grow, you know? And so what I would say to them is that really for a number of reasons, for just a practical sense, that eliminate that first before you start dating, because you don't want to get into a situation where you're hot and heavy into a relationship and all of a sudden, you know, God is calling you to something else. You're going to break that person, that other person's heart.
It's painful, right?
It's extremely painful. And on the other hand, if you don't know what you're called to, well, then you're just going to be kind of going
prolonging.
Along and prolonging, etc. And it's unjust to the woman. This is, I feel so strongly about this.
So you're speaking more to men here.
There have been a few women who have come up to me and said, thank you very much for giving my husband a swift kick in the bottom, to get him off,
sure.
To move him along. Because men in our culture, we do not, and I think it's primarily because of contraception, which is another topic, but we have this culture which has kind of been raised up where men are not aware of their responsibility in justice to a young lady.
We're going to take Mike, if we can take a quick break.
Sure.
We want to hear more about that after we come back on the Catholic Community of Faith.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and said, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com. And sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. You can check us out at www.chicagopriest.com. In the studio this morning, we've been speaking for the last, 45 minutes with Michael Sullivan, who is the facilitator, for lack of better words, of a young adult ministry called Spirit and Truth, which meets every Thursday night at St. Stanislaus Koska Parish, that big church right off the Kennedy, that big curve on the Kennedy where you see that church building right next to it. And Michael is a husband, a father, and a deeply devout Catholic, loves the Lord, and we've been speaking about all sorts of topics this morning. And just before the break, we were talking about, you know, that authentic manhood and listening to the Lord for our call.
Yeah, and I so often I have conversations with young men about discern your vocation first before you start dating and without intent, if you like.
So this kind of random, haphazard, mindless dating type of thing.
Exactly, right? which then gets you into this sort of pattern of putting off marriage, etc. And you know, the thing is that if you're living the Catholic faith and you're saying, okay, I'm going to be chaste before marriage, it is tremendously liberating. It's tremendously freeing. And so you can be heroic with your love. If you take that into discernment and say, okay, well, I know that I'm called to married life. I've gone down the road and I've really asked the Lord and was generous with him and saying, Lord, here, I'm giving you a blank check with my life on it.
What are you calling me to do?
What do you want?
Right.
Exactly. And it's very liberating then as well at a spiritual level, because then if you know that God is calling you to married life, well, now you're kind of like, okay, well, now I just need to get on with it. I need to find out which one, Lord. Now that I know that you don't want me in this category, you want me in this category. Well, now the question is which one?
Sure.
Okay? And then I would say to him, well, you know, now you're in a position where you can be heroic. So, I tell my story about how my wife and I got married. My roommate in law school, he was getting married in Kansas City, and so he invited me out for the wedding, and I met my wife Kelly. We weren't married at that point, but we met Kelly. Kelly and I met at that wedding, and because I had spent the previous 2 years really in strong discernment, and I had such a strong sense of what the Lord, you know, was doing in my life, when I met this young lady and we talked and I had a really a strong sense of, you know, what would disqualify somebody. I mean, I frequently say, you know, I had a kind of a list of qualities and characteristics, you know, Catholic, coming from a big family. My parents were divorced, so I really felt like, you know, I really wanted to, I should probably just in prudence marry someone that's coming from an intact family, because I kind of see that coming from my own context is kind of like a disability in some sense, because I don't have that patterning and that experience of what is it, you know, seeing my parents being together,
right?
You know? So I had a list, and after like talking to her for about 20 minutes, I realized I didn't have a list anymore because all the boxes were checked.
She was right there in front of you.
And so I realized, okay, well, I need to go a little bit further down this road, and I've got to see, okay, well, I'm attracted to this person, and so I just need to find out, well, what does the Lord want here? And so I changed my flight. I was able to stay an extra 24 hours. I spent the day with her the next day. And towards the end of the day, I said to her, I said, Kelly, I'd really like to meet your parents because I'm going to be getting on a plane and going back to Ann Arbor at that stage. She was in Kansas City. And I know that we're going to be having a lot more conversations.
And she was open to this.
And she was. Yeah. She was living at home. Mm-hmm. And I need to present myself to your parents, and I need to ask them if I can have permission to court you for marriage. It was a hot day, and she was driving, and she was in shorts and short sleeves, and I could see that she got goosebumps from her wrist all the way to her arms down to her ankles, and I was able to ask her parents for permission, and I was very forthright about, you know, my intentions about that it was going to be a chaste courtship, and really wanted to see what it is that the Lord wants for this. And I said to her very clearly, I said, you know, if God doesn't want us to be married, then we need to stop it as soon as possible, because whoever God is calling into your life to be your husband, I don't want to waste any time wasting your time. And so you can be, so in a sense, there was a liberating
aspect.
There's
a freedom
there. And a freedom to be heroic and to say, yeah, you know, I'm going to stand for the higher things. And I'm not just going to waste a woman's life. I had a friend of mine, a guy dated her for 5 years and then dumped her.
Yeah, that's,
you know, and that's 5 years of her vocation being interrupted, of babies not coming forth, and, you know, and a whole life
sure.
not coming forth. And it's unjust to do that to a woman. So I always say, make sure, do your discernment first. Are you called to religious life? What's your state in life discernment? And then once you know if you're called to married life, be intentional about your process and be intentional about what you're doing. And as soon as you know that this is not who you're being called to, then in justice, then say, you know, I want to just free you up so that whoever God is bringing into your life can come more soon.
And the same thing would apply for men or women who are discerning religious vocations to take that time. And if they're
Absolutely.
Hearing that call, to take the next step. But I think you hit on something that's so key. In the beginning, it could seem like a risk, and there is some fear there, asking the Lord that question, what do you want me to do? But the freedom that comes from it afterwards, as you committed to Kelly, and you said there's some freedom here. If this is what the Lord is calling us to, then we move forward. If not, let's break it off here.
Absolutely. And I say that the same thing with I say go and visit whatever religious communities that you're attracted to. Go to those religious communities. Spend a weekend there. Go on a retreat with them. The Lord's going to show you. He's going to attract you more deeply into this community. And he's going to show you, no, this is not the community for me.
At some point, whether we're called to religious life or marriage, the Lord is going to place that desire for that call within us.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break on the Catholic Community of Faith. We'll be right back.
Pledge to run 26.2 miles in the 2012 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on October 7th with Team Catholic Charities. As a member of the team, you'll make a difference in the lives of more than 200,000 people in our emergency assistance programs in Cook and Lake Counties. Registration for the marathon is open and will sell out quickly, so join Team Catholic Charities today. You can also sponsor the team or join a committee. Call 312-655-7912 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon and we'll see you at the finish line.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about his ad limina visit to Rome and about turning 75. We'll show you highlights of the recent Posada on the streets surrounding Holy Name Cathedral. And our stewardship and development director will talk about all the good that comes from money collected during the annual Catholic Appeal.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to the Catholic Community of Faith. This is Father Brian Welter, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Chicago. In the studio this morning, we've been speaking for the last 50 minutes with Michael Sullivan, who is the facilitator of Spirit and Truth. It's a young adult ministry. They meet every Thursday evening at St. Stanislaus Koska Parish, right off the Kennedy. for some adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, some fellowship, a little spiritual talk from a different presenter each week. We were talking the last segment, Michael, about freedom, that freedom in asking the question of discerning our vocation, just asking the Lord, what are you calling me to? And the freedom that comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
And with freedom, there's also, it's kind of a springboard then, when we have that free heart, when we ask the Lord, it leads us to evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
If you were mentioning this in the break off air, what would you like to say about how this freedom in our heart before the Lord leads to evangelization?
Yeah, because the enemy wants to keep us in a box of fear. He wants to keep us in a prison of fear. And the thing is that if you feel afraid, now, I mean,
there's genuine fear.
There's genuine fear. You know, I mean, if you've got right. a lion, coming yeah. after you or something like
yeah.
that, you know, that gets you to get up and run. But you know, most of the fear that's in our life is really the inspiration of the enemy. And, you know, the thing is, I've gotten to the point where if I'm afraid to do something, then what is on the other side of that wall of fear is a breakthrough that God is calling me into.
The very place that we want to avoid in fear is probably the very place God wants us
to grow with him, to go into that place.
To
say that, you know, that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And to demonstrate that in my flesh, not just in my prayer, and obviously it begins with the prayer, but, you know, the icon of Jesus, of divine mercy, where it says, Jesus, I trust in you. I always feel like that's like a bridge. Jesus, I trust in you is a bridge to get you across the fear, you know? And so whether it's, you know, in being afraid to ask the question, God, are you calling me to be a priest? You know, are you calling me to give my whole self for the sanctification of the kingdom? I mean, wow. You know, I mean, there's a great fear of saying, you know, that the ultimate sacrifice, you know, but beyond that fear is a breakthrough of being able to save people's lives, of being able to transform people's lives, of your own life being transformed. And so one of the things that kind of comes up out of this is this impulse to share my faith with others and to overcome the fear of rejection or of, gosh, am I going to look kind of odd, you know, going up to people. And so one of the things, and I know we don't have too much time
sure.
left here, but we had an evangelization outreach to the Occupy movement on LaSalle downtown, where we spent time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We asked the Lord, who do you want us to go to? And then we went down there and we looked for the people that we felt like the Lord was pointing us
to. So you're feeling this inspiration from prayer, and then you actually went out and did something with this.
We went out and we found the people that, you yeah. know, like someone who we wrote down something like a purple hat. We found someone with a purple hat. We went up to him, you know, and asked him, hey, you know, the Lord, we just, you know, the Lord loves you, and praying with him and just being able to see how God uses that and is able to work through that. Because, I mean, you know, you feel afraid. You feel a sense of, you know, trepidation to do that. But it's by that relationship with our Lord that we overcome those risks and leads us into an outpouring of evangelization, which is why I firmly believe that what at this conference in Rome that they were saying that the key, the necessary foundation for the new evangelization is Eucharistic adoration. And I completely agree with that.
So adoring the Lord and then going out from there. It's almost a Pentecost type of moment. You know, they're in prayer in the upper room. And of course, the Spirit comes, and then they go from that center point right there.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And then you carry with you that grace. And I really believe that something is released. The Spirit is released when you walk through that fear, when you take a risk, when you say, "Jesus, I trust in you," and you show it in your actions.
Those small acts of surrender, the Lord blesses those as we surrender to Him. We have 1 minute left. Not even 1 minute left. So you run this young adult ministry, Spirit and Truth, for young adults in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we'd love to have these numbers grow. So if there are young adults out there listening, in 10 seconds, what do you have to say to them?
Yeah, give us, you know, contact us. Get on our email list. We meet every week in the Archdiocese at St. Stanislaus Koska in the rectory. You can contact me at 773-255-8397, 773-255-8397. And even if you're not a young adult, most likely you have a young adult that you know. And so pass this along to them. Get on our email list. Come on down. Even if you've never done Eucharistic Adoration, a lot lot of people are thinking, oh, that's, you know, something, you know, it's for everybody.
And we're just about out of time. And they can also contact you at sanctuaryspiritandtruth.blogspot.com.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us this morning.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much, Father.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.